My name is David Feldman, and I am a licensed family and marriage therapist. I work out of Chicago, and I have clients all over the world. And my passion is helping couples build great marriages. And I share a lot of insights on Twitter. I'm now doing the spaces. I do have a website, davidfeldman.com, where there's blogs, articles, YouTube videos, you name it. A lot of the stuff on there, you will really benefit your relationship if you just want to read through some of the stuff. Certainly, if you want to work with me, there's that opportunity as well. So today's topic is fairly controversial. The question, when you were married in particular, I'm sure this applies to long-term relationships as well, but the question that I wanted to ask and wanted to discuss today is, should we have sex with our spouse when we don't feel like it? Okay. I'm sure there are going to be women out there who says, oh, that's so rapey and da 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 da. I've seen all of that online. So I'm pretty familiar with the reasons why people say that it's totally inappropriate to do that. But I want to challenge the idea just a little bit today. And I'd love, like I said, to hear some feedback from other people and see what they have to say as well. So I want to start out by saying that I'd like to explore today, what is the meaning of sexuality within our relationship? Okay, so we're going to be diving into that. You know, why do we have sex? Obviously, there's the procreation reason, right? And then there's the physical pleasure reason. But let's get a little bit more specific and break it down into more detail. And we'll get to that shortly. But as a therapist, and maybe Leela can share with me her thoughts as a coach, if there are other therapists here or coaches, I'd love to hear from you as well. It almost feels like God has created a very big joke on men and women, right? Because we start out wanting so many things in common, and we have goals that we all want to share, right? And we want to build together as a family and move forward together as a couple. And shortly after, we get to know each other really well. Oftentimes, as the joke goes, you know, after marriage, we realize or we experience this discrepancy and this big divide between our sexual needs and our desire, right? And it's like, it's so unfortunate. You know, it's so different than in so many other aspects of our life, right? Usually, if you and your wife go to a restaurant, you know, you'll get the steak and she'll get the chicken or she'll get the fish. You both have a nice appetite and you both are excited to go to the restaurant. And after you go to the restaurant, you want to go again. Then maybe it's your idea this time that we go to a restaurant. Maybe it's my idea next time that we go to the restaurant. Maybe we'll try this fish or we'll try this meal. Maybe we'll try this restaurant, right? But when it comes to sex, it's almost like something weird happens, something different happens where I find, you know, I work with lots of couples and I find there to be oftentimes a pretty decent divide in this essential connecting experience, you know, and it's a shame because, I mean, I look at it as a shame. Obviously, there's a reason why that it's there, but it's challenging. You know, and again, it doesn't correlate with so many of the other experiences that we share. Maybe you both like to go biking together. At least you both like physical exercise. You know, maybe you're doing the biking, she's doing the skiing, whatever. You know, or maybe you both love going on vacation or you're both interested in reading, right? Why is it that with this particular activity, it appears that shortly after we get to know each other, that we realize that there's a big discrepancy oftentimes, right? And you can laugh about it, but in the context of a relationship, it's not that funny, right? Because this is something that speaks to the core of our union. And when we're not aligned in this area, when somebody's intimate needs aren't getting met, Or the opposite, when somebody feels overwhelmed by their partner's intimate needs, it creates a fissure in the foundation of our connection. And, that can obviously that radiates out to other aspects of our life, right? When one of our partners is when our partner is not feeling connected to physically, and I think I have a tweet about this, it affects how we treat each other in the bedroom affects all aspects of how we show up, not just in the bedroom, but also outside of the bedroom, and not just outside of the bedroom in your own home, but it affects people at work and their social life. Right? It affects our ability because a person can have a lack of confidence, or they can feel unworthy, or they can feel unloved. Right? So saying no to your partner when they're desirous and in need of that physical connection has ramifications that go well beyond that one evening. And the other way around, too. Saying yes and feeling like you're being forced to do something that you're uncomfortable with also has negative consequences, right? It could sit on a person's shoulders and feel like a lot of pressure. So, creating a healthy relationship with intimacy and a healthy pattern and connection regarding intimacy is really important in creating a good relationship. One of the first things that I ask couples that I work with is, how's your sex life? Right? And I can almost tell right away, this is usually in the first session. I meet with couples individually. So I'll meet with the husband individually and then the wife individually, usually over the phone. And I'll ask one of the questions. I ask a lot of questions, but one of them is, how's your sex life? And for me, I rarely find a situation, it's happened, but I rarely find a situation where the person says, well, our sex life is just fine, but we can't stand each other. It's those two things are usually very closely connected. So when I hear a couple say, or when I hear the husband or wife say that the sex life is fine, I usually take that as a pretty strong indicator that these two people are going to make it, that their relationship can be fixed, and that the issues that they're facing are surface deep. However, when I hear that their sex life is in shambles, it lets me know that some of the other problems they're facing are pretty significant, right? Because the sex life is almost like a barometer of how we're doing in our relationship as a whole. And it kind of lets me know that there's a lot of work that needs to happen here. Usually there's some trust that was broken, or there's frustration. And that frustration leads to resentment, and resentment leads to distance, and distance leads to coldness, and coldness leads to divorce. So we have to be very careful on, in this area. Okay. So let's shift focus now, and let's take a closer look at, what sexuality is all about in the context of our relationship. And we're going to get back to, should we have sex with our spouse when we don't feel like it? Okay, because we're going to get there. It's just going to take a second. All right, so another couple minutes, and we'll end up having a framework through which to answer that question. Okay, so let's take a look at what's the role of intimacy in our marriage or in our relationship, right? Well, on the most fundamental level, in terms of the relationship, you can break it down to its functional aspect, right? Intimacy in most relationships, I'm not talking about polyamorous or open relationships or anything like that. I'm talking more traditional boyfriend, girlfriend, and obviously for marriage. Intimacy is the defining factor of the relationship, right? That is what it means to be in relationship. Exclusive relationship means that, what's the one thing this means that you can't do with somebody else? I can go fishing with other people. I can go swimming with other people. I can read a book with somebody else. I can do a project with somebody else. But one thing I can't do is have sex. That's what it means to be in a relationship or be in a marriage. So on a functional level, sex is the act which defines our connection. So it has a purpose in the sense that it actually sets the limits and boundaries of how we relate to each other and how we relate to others. Okay, so that's on a functional level. On a more emotional level, or on a more physical level, let's just say, sex feels great, right? Or it should feel great. Or we work at it feeling great, right? It feels wonderful, connecting, good feeling, right? And it creates hormones which help us emotionally connect. I think many people are aware of this already, but there's oxytocin that's produced, and the oxytocin opens up our hearts and creates like these bonding chemicals. And it's a way for us to connect to each other heart to heart, right? So within the context of a relationship, sex is a connecting activity, deeply connecting, not just physically connecting like playing tennis, but also because of the nature of the chemicals that it releases and the hormones that it produces, it also opens us up to emotional connection as well, right? And this is, of course, bypassing the fact that, of course, we love each other and everything else. That's for sure. So it's not just the sex that produces love. We obviously, the sharing of our bodies also in and of itself is an act of trust, vulnerability, emotional connection, love. Right, so that's on the physical and emotional level. So we have the functional level, and we have a physical and emotional level as well, right? And then, of course, I'm not even going to bother mentioning the most obvious thing, which is to have babies. But I'm leaving that to the side for right now because that really isn't the topic here. Obviously, if you want to have a baby, you're going to be sexual with your wife. So that doesn't need to be said. Okay. So the question comes in my mind, and that's really what the topic is today. What happens when we're not connected emotionally? What happens when we're not connected intellectually? What happens when we get an argument about something? Like, let's just say we don't see eye to eye on politics. Or we don't see eye to eye on how we should spend our Saturday afternoon. But we don't see eye to eye on whether or not we should invite your mother over to spend the weekend. Right, we get into a fight, right? So there's a distance there, right? Now I don't feel like sharing myself with you. Now I don't feel like opening up my body to you and being intimate, right? Or how about if there's deeper issues, like emotional issues, right? You snapped at me, or you criticized me, or I was angry with you. Or I forgot something that was important to you, right? Or I mistreated you, or I embarrassed you in public. So now there's some emotional resentment that's standing in the way as well. So if sex is our ability to come together emotionally and physically, then when I don't feel emotionally close to you, and I don't feel mentally close to you, intellectually close to you, then how can I have sex, right? There's a barrier between my mind and heart and coming together with you physically. And that's where this question comes in. Should we have sex with our spouse when we don't feel like it, right? Because right now, I don't feel like it, and neither do you. And just to be honest, so we can all be transparent here, this I haven't said it's the elephant in the room, in my opinion, but this usually affects women more than it affects men. And men, for the most part, I have surprisingly in my practice met quite a few men that this doesn't apply to, but for the most part, men are up for sex almost all the time. So even though I'm not talking so much about feminine and masculine, it's pretty much self-understood. With exceptions, so that's not all, but with exceptions that this is primarily the one who's challenged by this the most is usually the feminine. But it doesn't make a difference. It happens for men as well. I've worked with men who are so bitter and angry at their wives that they just have no desire to be with them sexually, right? And even more so, it could be that they once did have a desire to be with them sexually, but because of rejection, repeated rejection, and not just rejection in the sense that that she was unavailable, but rejection in the way that they're rejected. That's a huge issue, how they're rejected. Are they being shamed? Are they being made fun of? Are they being accused of, you know, being a sex freak or something like that? Men are very sensitive to that. So there's sometimes this can happen to men too, where they close up emotionally and physically. So the question is, what do you do with such a couple? What comes first, the chicken or the egg? Okay? So that's always going to be a decision, you know, for the couple themselves. Obviously, I'm not here to tell anybody to do anything that they don't feel like doing, or they don't think is right, or that they don't want to do. That's never my job as a therapist. But I do want to bring in one additional perspective, which I found interesting, and which I hope other people here will take something away from as well. There's another component to sexuality. Okay, so it's not just physical, it's not just functional, and it's not just emotional. It's not just about our pleasure. It's not just about our definition of our relationship. It's not just about having babies, and it's not just to connect heart to heart. Okay, there's a spiritual component to intimacy, which I think will help open our minds to a deeper understanding of our relationship. Okay, what is this spiritual understanding? What is this spiritual connection? If you've heard me speak before, I've definitely mentioned this before, but a man and a woman are soulmates. We are connected in spirit that goes beyond our heart and beyond our body and beyond our mind. That spiritual connection is eternal. That spiritual connection is permanent. That spiritual connection is actually the purpose for why you actually join together with the person in your life right now. It's not about you having fun with them. It's not only about the baby that you're going to make. It's not only about the ring or saying that you have a relationship. It's not only about fulfilling your personal dreams of being married. There is a godly spiritual connection between every man and woman when they connect, and for the sake of connecting. Our souls are connected, right? And the point of our connecting our souls is to elevate us beyond the physical, beyond the emotional, beyond the intellectual. And our spiritual connection, the idea that our souls are desperately trying to touch each other, is the primary drive that we have when we fall in love with somebody. It may look like, it may clothe itself in, wow, she's really pretty, or jeepers, he's very, you know, stoic or stable or strong. But what's really happening is that our souls are crying out from somewhere deep inside of us saying, I need to connect with this person. Right? And this gives us the ability to connect. And how do souls connect? They can't. They're trapped inside of each other's bodies, right? But the way we connect is through physical intimacy. I hope this doesn't disturb anybody's religious ideas, etc., but the way your souls connect, the deepest way that we can actually connect soul to soul is through sex. I know, again, I hope I'm not disturbing anybody's religious convictions here. And so there's another opportunity. Sometimes physical intimacy is the gateway through which all the other aspects of our relationship can get in line. When we choose to say yes to our partner, when we don't look at the obstacles that are the physical or the emotional or the mental obstacles that are in the way, and we say, you know what? I'm yours and you're mine. And our relationship goes beyond the disagreements. Our relationship goes beyond the fact that I'm pissed off at you about something right now. Our relationship goes beyond the fact that we don't see eye to eye on so many things. We have a soul connection, and I want to connect with you soul to soul. when we approach our intimate life with that in mind, that can give us the strength and the power to break through some of the other barriers that are holding us apart. Now, that doesn't mean you have sex when you don't want to and when you don't feel like it. But what it does mean is that sometimes we can change the way we feel based on the way we think. Sometimes we can change the way we feel based on the way we want to build our relationship. So I can't tell you in my own personal life how many times, just to, you know, make this a little lighter, sometimes I have a, you know, I can go off and sound like a preacher, and I don't mean to do that. But just to make this story, you know, this conversation a little lighter, I can't tell you how many times, you know, I've been together with my wife and, you know, reached out and in affection. And, you know, she turns to me and she says, you know, we haven't made up yet. We haven't made up yet. What are you doing? You know, and she's not rejecting me. She's saying, let's use our soul. I'm upset at you, but let's use our soul connection to go beyond that. Let's connect heart to heart, mind to mind, body to body, beyond soul to soul, to break through some of the issues that we're facing in the lower aspects of our relationship. I mean, it saved my marriage. It saved her willingness to say, I'm going to go beyond my heart and my mind right now, and I'm going to connect with you in my soul. And that just melts me. And, you know, lower level issues get resolved. So this isn't the cure-all for everything. This isn't the antidote to the divorce pandemic that we're facing. But I did feel like sharing this because I oftentimes hear this conversation couched in, well, why should I do something that I don't want to? Or how can you ask me to, you know, give you my heart when I don't feel like it? Well, those are good questions, good points. But my point today is that that's only reaching a certain level of our love for each other. I'm encouraging us to reach to a deeper level, our soul level. And when we connect soul to soul, that has the ability to straighten out or to offer the possibility of healing those lower levels of our relationship. Okay. All right. Well, listen, that was my lecture for today. I would love to hear some feedback or some other people's ideas. I see we have Heath here, who always is a very valuable contributor. James, you look like you wanted to say something a little earlier. Lila, of course, if you have a good connection, I'd love to hear from you. Melodic, you got away yesterday with only saying a little bit. I'd love to hear some of your wisdom today. Any questions or thoughts from people? Maybe they have some challenges doing this. Maybe they've tried it and it hasn't worked. Maybe people feel the opposite. Maybe they feel like, well, if you're having sex and you don't feel like it, you're bearing other issues that really should be brought up. That's a good point, right? That's a good point. Maybe people have had sex in the past and it hasn't helped at all, you know? Or maybe people agree with me and they say, you know what, the fact that sometimes I give myself to my wife when I'm not feeling like it has really made all the difference. So floor is open. Oh, here you go, Melodic. I'm so excited. Let's see. Hey, how are you? Just set your speaker on.
You ready for me?
I certainly am. So excited.
Well, thank you very much for that wonderful lecture. I will say I am divorced, and that last marriage was a sexless marriage. And
wow.
Yeah, I can't tell you how many times we went 6 months or more without coming together. We were married 7 years. So I totally agree with you and everything you said as far as the power that the coming together does, because I'm currently with the person I've been with almost 3 years. And I cannot tell you the times where I have not wanted to give myself to this guy to the point of tears. But as you said, coming from the male perspective, it's something that he recognizes that, you know, she doesn't tell me no. You know, she won't tell me no. And we often laugh and say that, you know, our sex life is the seasoning of the relationship. It's not the relationship, but when you eat your food, you want it to taste good. Yeah, you know, you want to have your mouth watering type. So I want to just agree with you 110% that the coming together physically with your person, the power is not just being able to come together and make another body. You know, that's powerful in itself. Please believe.
Yes.
Being able to know two people can come together and make a whole another soul. But to just think about the other areas that power can affect outside.
Huh. Wow. Okay. So, first of all, thank you so much for sharing that. I really, really appreciate that. That's very powerful. And I think what I'm hearing from you say is that the fact that you've consistently opened the channel for intimacy with your new partner has strengthened the other aspects of your relationship to the point where you can kind of get along in other ways, specifically because you chose to be open to intimacy. Whereas in your previous marriage, or in your first marriage, the fact that that door was closed really leaked into the entire emotional connection to the point where it just disintegrated. Is that fair?
It is fair. And what's so uncommon that people don't understand as well is, you know, I wasn't the unwilling participant in my marriage. It was my husband that was just not, you know, I remember having to ask him multiple times, are we going to have sex today? Like, can something go down? You know, so a lot of the times it's not just women that have the capacity to just withdraw.
Right.
You know, it goes both ways and it is just as detrimental.
Yes. Thank you for sharing that. And I do want to let you know that it's a good thing that you're currently involved with somebody, because if you didn't mention that, you probably have 150 men hitting you up in the DMs right now to Sounds good. Okay. Thank you for sharing. I'm going to get Leela here. Hopefully, Leela, your speaker. And then Heath, you can, if you have time, I'd love to hear you too. Let me see if Leela can connect. Hi, Leela, how are you? Still there? Oh, good. Yeah, just turn on your mic.
Did you? Okay. It just like cut out for a second. I guess you were talking to me.
Yeah.
Okay. Is it working all right? You think I can?
Perfect. I can hear you fine.
Okay. Well, yeah, it's just everything you said was beautiful. And are you still there? I'm so sorry. Of course, I got a call
in a
second.
Okay.
And I was just going to say, I remember you tweeted just the other day about how the lack of intimacy is not always a symptom, but it can actually be a cause. And sometimes it is a matter of, you know, like it's a cause in like the partner's world who is being rejected, but in the other partner's world who is doing the rejecting, it's a mindset thing, it's a belief thing that, like you said, if they have these beliefs about, well, I shouldn't have to do something if I don't feel like it, then just correcting that mindset or, you know, exploring different options of ways to think about it, that you really can correct that that cause of the breakdown, if you know, if that's what's going on, that it really can be kind of a standalone issue. If that makes sense.
Yeah, it does, and that's why I appreciate, you know, coaches like you, Leela, because as a man, and maybe Heath can concur, or I'd like his opinion, he's going to speak next. You know, it's really hard to say that to my female clients. Like, it, no matter how I've tried to say it, you know, it just doesn't come off the same. You know, as much as I'm obviously not, you know, in my opinion, this male chauvinist pig, but it's so hard to say to a woman, you know, just do it anyway. You can't, you just can't, you know, you just can't. I think Michelle Wolf is a famous female, a famous therapist. She's a PhD, I believe, a doctor, and she's a psychotherapist. She's like the only female, maybe her and Dr. Laura were able to get away with saying, you know, in a TED talk or something like that, that, you know, I think she used the slogan, just do it, you know, and you know, I'm not here to tell women to do it. Again, I'm not here to tell women to do anything, but it's like, that's, I appreciate people like you because you're able to work with women who want to, you know, make that change or are open to making that change. And that's something that I find that for myself, I can share ideas, but there's a line that I can't cross. Heath, I'm going to ask you to speak, if you don't mind. Hello. Yeah, you just have to click unmute and you should be good to go. Yes, we can.
And I'm very strong opinionated on this. I believe me as the man, it is my job to inspire my wife to have intimacy. And so I feel us guys, we have a tremendous responsibility to create the environment, the culture, where women want to respond to us. I love the analogy that Melody that shared. I believe that intimacy, it's part of the buffet, part of the buffet of marriage, the buffet of communication, the buffet of adventure, the buffet of laughter, joy. But then there is the marital sexual intimacy that we get to partake in. And so I've also counseled many couples. And what I always say, usually sexual intimacy gets brought up as a problem with the ladies, and my wife is there with me. I say, imagine with your husband, if he only wanted to talk to you twice a week, or if he only wanted to talk to you once a week, you know, how would you feel? Well, how would you feel as a lady? And of course, women would be like, that'd be ridiculous. You know, that's not a relationship. I want you to imagine you only telling your husband, I'm only interested once a week, or I only feel drawn to you, you know, twice a week, or that's how he feels in the same way when he's trying to pursue you romantically. And but you know, women then say, I know, but he doesn't take care of my needs, he's not doing this and this and this. And my wife and I, what we say to each other is just, you know, what do you need from me? You know, what do you need from me? And I've been married 23 years, and I know my wife needs to connect with me conversationally as soon as I get home from work. And that's why we go on a little walk as soon as I get home, and she feels that connection, and I know that's what she needs from me. And so my wife, she knows that I need to feel physical intimacy. And so she just asked me, hey, what do you need from me? And again, my job is to inspire her, to make her feel connected towards me. But I'm usually the one that pursues her romantically. And, you know, in marriages, about 80% of the dominant sexual drive is from a guy. In marriage, usually about 20% is the woman. And so Melody, I think, was sharing that earlier, that, you know, she was wanting it more than her husband. So I deal with couples that it's the men that doesn't have the higher drive, it's the women. But I encourage all of us to ask your spouse, what do you need from me? And, you know, sometimes I am tired or whatever, but I know my wife needs to connect with me conversationally or quality time. And so I go and do that for her. Like, absolutely, let's go for a walk. I don't give her the excuses. Rarely do I give her the excuses, man, I've had a long day. No, when I decided to get married, I decided to serve her, to pursue her, to honor her all the days of my life. And so when this conversation, for me, we don't get to give excuses of I just don't feel like it or so forth. When you married, when you married her, it's in good and bad, sickness and health. And so my wife, my wife doesn't really, again, she's able to speak more forcefully when it comes to the women, but you don't get to use excuses. Now, again, there are exceptions. You know, my wife, she turns me down. But when she turns me down, she's like, man, I'm just really tired. I've been homeschooling the kids all day. Can we just wait till tomorrow? I'm like, absolutely. Of course we can wait till tomorrow. And so there's a give and take there. But if the dominant excuse is I don't feel connected, well, get connected. Go play a board game. Go out for a date. Go talk to each other. Go work through your, you know, your, you feel a gap between your relationship. But for a guy, when they don't get this need taken care of, it turns into the crazy cycle. They'll start being distant from you because they don't feel that connection. Same way you ladies, if you don't feel you're being taken care of in this area, then you need to work with a guy. That's why you go to a counselor, you know, like Dovid here, or, you know, you talk to Leela. You talk to people that are able to help you walk through this. But again, what do you need from me? If you say that and your spouse says that, you'll have a beautiful dance. Like you'll be dancing together, romantically together. You'll be acting like teenagers in your marriage still, you know, after a couple of decades. Again, every marriage is different, but I just encourage people, figure out a way to serve each other conversationally, quality time, romantically, sexually, so forth.
Beautiful. You sound like an amazing husband. That's for sure. You know, and for sure. I mean, I love how you kind of put a lot of onus on the men, if this is their desire, to not just request sex, but to create the atmosphere where she is willing and even wants, hopefully wants to be with you, you know, and, you know, want to connect, for sure. That's a wonderful approach to creating a healthy and long-term intimate life, you know, where, and I think I agree with you. I mean, I've also been married for a long time, and I obviously, at this point, it took me a while, but I obviously know behaviors. I certainly know the behaviors that are going to turn my wife off completely. That's easy. That took me a while to figure out, but now I've got a whole list. Sometimes it's trickier to figure, especially since she's a woman and her, you know, her emotions go up and down and we never know exactly what's going on. It's harder to figure out what turns her on. But still, there's a lot of things that I do know about her. And I do, like you said, you know, obviously emotionally connecting and communicating and maybe doing her a kindness or, you know, supporting her in some way, maybe if it's making her dinner or whatever it is, like you said, a board game, going out to dinner, whatever works for you. So I really, I appreciate your hands-on kind of, can do, must be done type approach to intimacy. Good for you. Thank you for sharing that, Heath. For sure. Okay, so I'd like to ask, maybe there's a woman here, and I don't know if anybody's going to feel brave enough to share, if they don't have any story to tell, but I'd be fascinated to hear from a woman who maybe tried this approach where there was some negativity in the relationship, and she said, you know what, I'm going to connect with my husband or my boyfriend intimately. And maybe she realized that kind of overcoming of her initial resistance actually led to greater emotional connection afterwards. You know, because that was kind of my kind of premise. And it's never don't do anything that you don't want to do, of course. But the idea that when we connect body to body, but through our souls, that kind of opens up the channel for healing in the other aspects of a relationship. So I'm going to let Sky Bay, looks like she wants to share with us. Blue Face, here we go. Hi, Sky Bay. You want to share something? Yeah, go ahead and you can speak.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, that's okay.
So, you know, if initially during like the ask, the request, you're not in the mood and then you do it anyway out of love, and then throughout the act, you're recognizing I'm giving love, I'm receiving love. At the forefront of your mind, there's this soul connection. And sometimes you might not feel this like soul connection in the blunt sense. It might just be the reminder that our souls are connecting. We are as intimate as we could possibly be right now. I love this person, and I trust that my needs will be met by this person. Because sometimes we can feel maybe my needs have not been met upon the request. But trust that your needs will be met, because you just provided love in the relationship. You just watered this garden. And so anticipate the fruit to be growing, you know, because of that act itself. And after that, like, realization, it's pretty much like, it's pretty easy afterwards, because it's proven to be true if you're with the right person. Yeah.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, totally. That's exactly the kind of feedback that I was interested in. So really, thank you for sharing. And I mean, I'm just speaking, you know, I can speak for myself and some of my clients when I have heard, you know, really nice stories, you know, a lot of times women will just know, they'll be like, oh, my husband's ornery. They'll just know, they're like, okay, well, I got to take care of him in this way. And then he's going to go back to normal and I'll, you know, be able to tell him, get back on the honey-do list type thing, you know. So that's fairly common that women are aware of that, you know. And I know for myself that, of course, I'm much more, like Heath was saying, that if the man is frustrated in this way, it's going to, you know, affect the way he shows up in other areas of the relationship. So I think it's beautiful that you're able to tap into your higher level connection with your spouse, deeper level, even though maybe right now your mind or your heart is, or your body is not saying, oh, wow, I want to jump his bones. But what you are saying is, I want our marriage, I want our relationship to work. And that's the primary value here. And I know that by giving and connecting with him, with my beloved, that this is going to affect us positively moving forward. So good for you. That's fantastic. It shows a compassionate spouse and a wise spouse as well. Good for you. Okay. I'd love to hear anybody else. Marta, I see you lurking here. I'd love to hear your wisdom. I've invited you to speak a few times. I have another woman here who's Depti, learning to write, the better notion. I'd love to hear you speak. I'm going to invite you to speak and you can reject it. Hi. We are, and we can hear your Texas accent. Yes, for sure.
Yes, I really feel like I shouldn't be speaking because I'm not a spouse at the moment. I have been a spouse, but I'll tell you, Heath, oh my goodness. If you ever decide to clone yourself, I'm placing an order. He had some wonderful, wonderful thoughts. And I especially love the buffet. What a wonderful way to put it. And the walk, the connection, realizing that a woman needs conversation. I know that connection is really important to me. And I know that sometimes it's difficult for a man, especially if he's had, you know, a hard day, that sort of thing. So I've heard some really, really wonderful things. And I'm sorry, I don't think I have anything to add, but, you know, listen up, guys, because this is really great. And thanks for asking me to say something. And I have to zoom out because my timer just went off for a Zoom meeting that I've got coming up. So you guys have a great day. Okay.
Thank you so much for sharing, Marta. I appreciate it. Definitely. Cool. Okay. Yeah. Heath, you seem to have hit the nail on the head, as they say. You know, a lot of fans here today. You can follow him on Twitter. He's got a great feed. Anybody who doesn't know him, he works with couples and just an overall great guy. And definitely working with him will definitely improve your marriage for sure. I've learned a lot from him already. So, okay, any other women here that maybe there's a man who wants to share and say and let us know what his experience is? Maybe there's men that say, you know what, you know, intimacy is what I need in order to break through some of my challenges. Or maybe a man will say, if he feels this way, that, you know, I'm much more amenable to sacrificing for my marriage when I feel like I'm being taken care of in that way. And yeah, I mean, you know, Or maybe the opposite. Maybe there's somebody who has different opinions. I'd love to hear that as well. But if anybody wants to click on speaking, that'd be great. I have to tell you that, you know, it's interesting in my practice, and maybe some of the other therapists or coaches can share what their experience is. When I come across a situation where it's the husband that's, you know, withholding, I don't want to use the word withholding, but is not as forthcoming as the woman would want, I usually am pretty aggressive in letting him know that it's almost like his responsibility to show up for his wife in this way. And I think it's interesting because the Torah, the Bible, actually espouses that same value. I mean, that's basically where I get it from. The commandment of be fruitful and multiply actually was not given to women, it was given to men. So, and when a man gets married to a woman, or when a man gets married, one of his obligations that he has to his wife is to satisfy her sexually. I know it's very odd because you would think that that would be something that he would normally do, but it actually is a commandment, much like, you know, love your neighbor as yourself. And it's a commandment like, you know, not doing, you know, that there's knowing that there's one God, and the commandment of eating kosher food that we have as Jews, all the other commandments. One of them is you have to give to your wife intimately when she wants it. So my attitude towards men is usually much more aggressive and, you know, strong. You know, it's like, you know, you got to get it done. You know, you got to overcome whatever it is that you're, you know, of course I work with him and figure out what's this blockage, but it's almost like this attitude that this is something you need to do because you're responsible for your relationship. And this is something that God has put in your hands to take care of her in this way. So I think that's just like an interesting twist to it, because usually you would think the man wouldn't need to be told to do this. But the reality is that when a woman is wanting intimacy, it usually goes well beyond the physical and into the core of her spirituality and her emotional connection as well. Okay, here we got somebody here called Spiritual Body. I'd love to hear what you have to say. Hello.
Hello. Oh, I have permission to speak. Great. So sure. I came in and I think what you're saying, Dovid, about, you know, this being a priority in your relationship to maintain that intimate connection, it feels really present to me, because depending on whatever life stage you're at with your spouse, there's going to be challenges, you know, things are going to be easier. And I'm going through a life stage where, you know, we have a 9-month-old daughter. And so, thank you. Yeah, we love it. We're, you know, we have such a happy, beautiful little family, and, you know, so many things that we're getting to experience together. But intimacy and that affection is something that does kind of get put on the back burner because we have a baby to take care of who requires so much of our attention. But sure. Those times where, you know, we do really seem to kind of not communicate as well, when things just don't feel as fun or as easy between us, it's usually we need to come together and be intimate. And it's when we actually make time to have that between my husband and I, then things get so much better. And so, you know, it's almost like there's a freshness in our relationship that wasn't there before. And so I guess that was just really my only kind of point or experience I wanted to share, just that, you know, sometimes life throws unexpected things at us, and, you know, just coming together and being close with your spouse, whether that is intimate time, sitting down, having a conversation and really looking into one another's eyes and listening, like, you know, those are those really simple things that we can come back to. And I think we can find a lot more reward in, you know, not only being a partner, but like being partnered, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah. That's fantastic. And thank you so much for sharing that. I mean, I think that message that you're sharing with everybody is so important. You know, that especially, you know, if raising children and building a family, you know, and prioritizing the physical connection, which, as we discussed before, has its roots in our spiritual connection, is such a gift that you're sharing with everyone, because as what I'm hearing from you, it's a key in some way to deeper connection in all aspects of your relationship. So
yeah.
Good. Yeah. And thank you so much for coming forward and giving out that message. It's really key. Thank you. Okay. I'm going to ask Street Hawk. I believe you were with us yesterday. I'd love to hear you. Hello. You with me? Oh, I think I lost him. Oh, there he is. Yeah, just unmute yourself.
Yes, hi.
There you go.
Hi. My question is about this idea that when you have a prolonged withholding, when we think of sexual immorality, or we usually think about it in the context of, you know, cheating, like there's an adulterous affair or something like that, and we consider that to be a breaking of that intimate covenant between the man and the woman. But what about withholding? Isn't that itself another form of the breaking of that covenant?
Excellent question. You know, about 6 or 7 years ago, when I was trying to do my what's called CE credits, which are these extra credits you got to do if you're a therapist, a licensed therapist, I took a what's called an IPV, domestic violence course that prepares people. I was the only man in the room, but prepares people to advocate for domestic violence victims, for victims of domestic violence. And it was a 40-hour course, so I had to take off of work for 1 week, and I sat in the classroom for 8 hours a day, and not only was there an instructor and there's a curriculum, but there was all these specialists that would come in. And they have something in this course that talks about the wheel of control, or the power wheel of control, and or the wheel of domestic violence. And on this wheel, it's basically following what's called the Duluth model of IPV, inter-partner violence. And one of the items on the wheel, I've looked at it recently and it's been removed, but at the time, withholding of intimacy was considered a form of domestic violence. I hope I don't shocking anybody, this and that, but it was actually considered, it was on the wheel of power and control. So I would agree with you that now we have to be careful, because it can't be like you ask your wife if she wants to be with you and she says no, and you're like, oh, now you're a domestic violence abuser or something. That's not the way it works, okay? You can't call up 911 and say, oh, my wife's abusing me. however, prolonged, purposeful denial of intimacy is a form of control. And at that point, about 6 years ago, was considered on the wheel of domestic violence. Again, I happen to feel, now in the class that I was in, it was almost always, everything in the class was given over only in the context of men being the perpetrators of domestic violence. It wasn't my favorite class, because as we know today, and as I knew back then, that isn't always the case. It's fortunately, it's something that everybody deals with on both sides of the gender line. But, you know, I was the only guy in the room. And so I really didn't have much of a voice. But I think it's been removed since then, most likely, in my opinion, because men started utilizing it as claiming that they were victims of it. So that's just my kind of thought as to why it was removed. But at the time, it was there, and it was considered a form of domestic violence. So if you are I'm just going to use the word victim, or if you are experiencing, I should say, prolonged and purposeful denial of physical intimacy, that's a huge red flag that there's some sort of manipulative emotional abuse going on. Just want to share that with you. So yeah, it's not normal. And I'm not calling it domestic violence. I'm not saying that it's not, quote unquote, your fault. I don't know anything about your situation, but it is something to pay attention to very seriously. So, okay. I don't know if anybody here has anything to say about that or they've heard about that before. I took a 40-hour course on how to advocate for victims of domestic violence, and this showed up as one of the things that we're supposed to pay attention to. So if a woman would come in and say, well, my husband refuses to have sex with me, then this was something that our ears should, you know, pick up. If she came in and said, my husband refuses to pick up the groceries, that wasn't something we were supposed to pay attention to. But if it was something like this, that is. Oh, Leela.
Yes. Well, I just had I have one question. Do you know if they still only consider men to be capable of domestic abuse?
No. And you know what's interesting about that? A lot changed. Not because, this is my opinion, so this is like a little political, so if anybody doesn't like politics a little bit, you know, you just close your ears or whatever. A lot changed when numbers started coming out for the gay and lesbian community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I bet.
Yeah, that's when things really shifted, because unbelievably, if you could take a guess at which couples have the highest incidence of domestic violence, take a guess.
Oh, I know. Lesbians. I've seen it. Yeah, lesbians.
Yes. For sure.
Right, lesbians for sure. So once those numbers started coming out, then it was like it's like the lid blew open on this whole thing. And people who have a particular political agenda didn't know how to put the cat back in the bag, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's a touchy subject, you know, and certainly if you're talking with people who feel very strongly about feminism and things like that, it's like, it's difficult to kind of bring up without ruffling feathers, you know? Mm-hmm.
Well, and that's a shame too. Cause like you know, I would love to help with, you know, with the unhealthy patterns that women get into. And I feel like that would just be common knowledge that you have to help them change their patterns in order to, you know, help them not be victimized continually, because we know, I mean, I think it's pretty, you know, common knowledge that it's not just going to happen once. You know, they can break up with the boyfriend or the husband, but it's probably going to happen again. And, you know, to make it political to, you know, coach women on choosing healthier relationship patterns, it's disturbing to me.
Yes, yeah, for sure. Yeah, a lot, unfortunately, a lot has been, you know, in order to fit in with certain political perspectives, we kind of bury a lot of what I would consider very healthy and positive abilities to change things, you know, kind of being quieted down or censored out of existence. But I don't want this conversation to get that.
No, but I had that question, but also yeah. My comment was going to be that I do agree with you that is, well, I guess the question from the other speaker was, is that a breaking of the marriage covenant? And I think your answer is basically yes, and I would agree with that, but also with all the usual caveats about, you know, how the covenant can be broken in many different ways, and that, you know, that often isn't the start of it necessarily, although Sometimes I guess it could be.
Yeah, for sure.
And also I was just going to say that I don't know if you can hear my dog growling. Sorry, there's a guy working on our internet. But just to put it out there that although I haven't been able, even though I've tried to like kind of get into circles of, you know, helping domestic violence victims locally, I do have clients that have had those experiences, and I have had similar experiences within my first marriage. So I can, you know, it's not to say that I don't help women do that. I just wanted to clarify.
Oh, okay, good. Well, that's good information to know. Yeah. I mean, I love all the stuff that you're doing online with women, and your great message about, marriage and taking responsibility to make your marriage, you know, really positive, you know, experience. So yeah, awesome. I didn't realize that you also worked with that. Good for you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Good. Yeah. Heath, did you want to share something?
Yeah, it's not about this subject though. So I don't know if you want me to talk about something else before you fully address the domestic abuse.
Well, I wanna just there is one more person that wants to
chime in. I'll wait.
Yeah, great. Let me just give AMZ Laz Tony. Let's see. Hello. I wanted to give you a chance to share. Wait, did I lose him? Yeah, you just have to unmute your mic and you should be good to go. So, AM Zai, you're welcome to speak. There you go.
Oh, thank you. I actually have a question.
Okay.
Yeah. I come from a different culture from obviously most of the speakers here and most of the listeners. Whereby we do not place a significance on love relationships per se, but rather on duty, responsibility, and maintaining a certain type of way in how we conduct our marriages, how we conduct our families. So my question then is, I understand that there will be times whereby you will not feel like it, irrespective of whether you are a man or a woman. Of course, now my eyes are open to the fact that when I was younger, I would think that as a man, then I would get unlimited access to sex when I got married, only to realize that I would... yeah. only to realize that also there would be times when I would not even want it myself, either because of the various pressures of life or I'm tired or because of so many other reasons. Then my specific question is, how do we differentiate from the fact that someone is tired, they are not feeling up to it, away from the manipulation? Like, I want to bring in, I wonder if it's acceptable. There is something that I read somewhere. It was made as an assertion. I understand that it is not a fact. And the writer was saying that there is nothing that would please some people. Well, the specific words were, there is nothing that would please a woman more than to know she is the only source of intimacy for her husband. Then there would always be people who are manipulative and they would use sex as a manipulation tool. So how do you differentiate it between being tired or being sick or not feeling up to it from the manipulative aspect of using sex to get something from the one partner?
That is a fantastic question. Absolutely, it's a fantastic question. Okay, so it's a large topic, but I'm just going to break it down pretty quickly into how I handle it, and maybe other people deal with it in different ways. This is the first thing that I want to just make sure that everybody's clear of. There's so many reasons why your partner says no. Okay, I mean, literally, you know, there's just so many reasons. It could be that he or she is having an issue at work. It could be that they're upset at you. It could be that they're feeling a lack of confidence. It could be that they're on some medication. It could be that they heard some bad news. I mean, the list just goes on. Right. And sometimes these reasons can extend over time. So it's if they've just suffered some major financial setback, or let's just say a man who lost his job and can't find another one and is struggling to provide for the family, you know, this could kick his sex drive completely out of whack. Or like the other young woman, Sky Bay, who was explaining just before, you know, having a baby for a woman may cause her to, you know, obviously be busy, and many women also express a lack of, you know, desire and exhaustion and things like that. So that's the first thing. You know, it's the first thing we have to accept about intimacy, is that there's many hindrances to a healthy and consistent sex life. Okay. So, but that being said, this is what I look for And so maybe this will help you also, or maybe anybody else, this may help for as well. I like to take a look at your sex life over a period of time. And I like to discuss what I call the averages. It's known that in the United States, so in the Western world, that couples are, you know, couples who've been together for 5 or more years are having sex 1 to 2 times a week. These are the happiest couples, right? So what I work with on my with my couples is let's shoot for average. Let's shoot for average. Right? If you want to have more sex than average, that's great. But let's try to get that couple on the list of average, right? So over a decent period of time, 3 months, 6 months, barring any, you know, depression issues or things like that, or health issues, take a look at your sex life and say, is my partner showing up for me on average? You know, if they're meeting the average, then that might not be enough for you, or for some people it'll be too much, like the famous Woody Allen movie. But I would say that at that point, there's no concern of emotional manipulation. Okay, so that's kind of how I weed out whether a partner is utilizing sex as a weapon, or just there's a mismatch in libido, or there's something that they're experiencing in life, which is causing them to be a little off, or it could just be, you know, they're just, at this point, they're not feeling like it. That's how I determine. Can we get this couple to average over a 6 month period of time? If you look back in 6 months and say, you know what, 1 week it was once, another week it was 3 times, 1 week it was twice, 1 week for a whole month we just did it every Saturday night and that was it. You know, you're within the realm of average there, right? But if you find yourself going 6 to 8 weeks, 12 weeks without being together, or you find yourself always getting rejected for no good reasons, and this is, again, extending over a period of time, that's when you might want to think to yourself that there's some other deeper issue that's causing this distance between you two. Okay, and even then, I would take a look at the actual issues itself. How willing is your partner to work on it? If your partner's willing to work on it, it's probably not manipulation. It's probably that there's an issue that he or she is experiencing that is causing them to, causing your partner to not want to be intimate with you, right? Maybe she noticed that you were liking women's profiles on Instagram and she just doesn't feel close to you. Or maybe you were nasty to her and never apologized. You know, again, the reasons can go on forever, but how willing is that person willing, how willing is that person to work on it? So just to repeat really quickly, I like to get my couples that I work with on average, because that's the happiest couples are having sex 1 to 2 times a week. So let's see if we can shoot for that. And what are the obstacles to get there? You know, and if we can get there or get close to there, some couples go more than that. But, you know, then I say to myself, this is a couple that is not really having issues. They're just, you know, they're like everybody else. They're just having a hard time making time for sex. Hope that helped. Heath, did you want to share some thoughts?
Well, it's about something else, not about that specifically.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Yeah, yeah. Go for it.
Okay. All right. I just want to encourage one of the things that when I'm dealing with guys and coaching guys when it comes to this issue, I try to get them to imagine them dying, passing away, and some hotshot husband comes and takes your place as far as marrying your wife. And pretty much what would that hotshot husband start doing to romance her? What would he start doing to inspire her? How would he create the greatest friendship of all time? And then I just ask him, right now, are you doing those things? Like, for example, my wife, when we go out, she loves that I dress up. I'm more of a shorts, t-shirt guy. But when we go out, I'm not looking at myself. She's looking at me. And so I dress up so that she feels around a confident guy, good-looking guy, dressed up. Because that's what a hotshot husband would do. He would come in, and he would be trying to woo her, trying to wine and dine her, because he would want her to know that he was all about her, consumed with her. And so even though I've been married 23 years, again, I want to make it easy, easier for her to respond to me. I want to make it easy for her to stay married to me,
to want to look forward to me coming home every day. And so the same thing would be with you ladies. I want you to imagine if you passed away and a new hotshot woman came in and took your spot as your wife, as his wife, what would she be doing? Would she be dressing in ways to seduce him, to make him love coming home to you? Or have you gotten to a point where you've been married now 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, and you've gotten to a rut of you guys are still good friends and you still enjoy each other, but are you trying to, again, wow him? And I think that happens to a lot of couples, is they get into that rut, and that rut of just being friends instead of being, you know, lovers. And so I just want to encourage all of us to think that way. And what do we need to do to keep romancing our spouse? Where they, you know, where we truly are like teenagers, where we enjoy one another. I'm inflaming them. They're inflaming me. We're seducing one another so that it's like a lifelong date. And so I just want to drop that thought with everybody.
Awesome. Love it. Love it. You are a great intimacy motivator. Awesome. I love that. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I can tell that this is important to you and your wife and that you guys are inspiring for sure. Okay. Well, I'm going to give anybody else a last minute opportunity to share a thought or an idea. I see Shreya is here, or Mr. Money is here. Think and Grow Rich. Anybody here wants to get an opportunity to share? J-Val, you've been here the entire time, a wife, mother, anti-feminist, homeschooler. I'm going to click on invite to speak. Maybe you want to share an idea. I think you've spoken once before. We have some of the other people that are a little further down the list. We have Queen Mia. I'll invite you to speak, see if you have anything to say. Yeah. Anybody want to share some final thoughts, or we need to get into the business of going back to our day and taking this great energy and bringing it into our relationships? For sure. For sure. Yeah. So, just as a final thought, you know, the idea that I said before is that it's up to us to look at our spouse a little differently than we have in the past, right? And as has been mentioned here, not just by me, but some others, you know, we want to recognize that the connection that we share to our spouse is not just physical, not just emotional. Those are all so important, but it's also spiritual. And we want to understand that our souls are on a journey together, right? Which goes beyond how I'm feeling at this very moment, right? And that intimacy is the God-given way that our souls connect in the deepest fashion. So we want to create that, as Heath has been sharing with us tonight, so this afternoon so much. We want to create the most beautiful experience and the most, you know, exciting experience for sure. But let's see if we can shift our attitudes from this is a reward. Intimacy is a reward that my partner gets when things are going well, to intimacy is a means through which I create a beautiful relationship. And I think that if we kind of adopt that attitude, that not only will we be having a lot more sex, but we will start utilizing and tapping into the depth and the beauty of what intimacy, what the gift of intimacy is always is really about. J-Val, did you want to share something with us before we log off?
Right, I had some internet problems. Can you hear me?
Yes, yes, ma'am.
I really appreciate the message you're putting out there. And my husband in particular works in a very male-dominated field. So to come home and have me reject him often is probably more frustrating than me who stays home with the kids may understand. And there was something I saw probably 6 months ago, I think, that said, sex can be like chocolate. You don't have to be craving it to enjoy it. And that really was mind-blowing to me, because my husband comes to me and wants to have time with me. If I say no because I'm tired, I've been taking care of the kids all day, all he can think is, okay, now I have to go through another 24 hours with all these men at work and not being able to sort of connect with my feminine energy and get back to that bond that we created. And I think it's important for me to recognize that for him, that that's a really important part of our relationship. And it's not worth saying no just because I'm tired. And never have I regretted saying yes when maybe it wasn't my first idea. It's something that it brings us closer. I can tell it relieves him of some stress, and it's always worth it. So as a wife, I'm not saying it's my duty, but I love him and I want him to feel that. So
beautiful. I can't imagine a more perfect note for us to, you know, sign off for today, Jayval. I really appreciate that. That was awesome. And everybody here, I just want to say thank you. We've been on for almost an hour and a half, so I do want to let people go and have a wonderful day. Have a wonderful weekend. Today is Friday. People who follow me know, and if you don't, I'm letting you know right now. Friday flowers. So you want to go out and get your wife flowers this afternoon to start off the weekend. And no matter what's going on in your relationship, come home with a handful, not expensive, but, you know, a nice bouquet, and treat her like a queen, and enjoy your relationship. If you need me, you can find me here on Twitter. Heath also is available for counseling if you want. Leela also works in the counseling field. So everybody, God bless you and have a wonderful weekend. Until next time, we'll talk to you later.